Hello and welcome to episode 125 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Jen G, and with me as always, the chocolate to my bunny, Mr. Kev P.
I love chocolate. I can't wait to eat Easter eggs.
But no Easter bunnies?
No.
Can't eat chocolate bunnies.
You can with chocolate.
But they're bunny shaped.
Okay.
As former bunny parents, we shouldn't eat bunny shaped things. But if you were to eat a chocolate bunny, would you eat the ears or the bum first?
Well, usually bite the head off.
Yeah, I thought you would. Anyway, welcome to the March Roundup. So this episode, we've got some news that's occurred throughout the month of March. We've got a little podcast update of what's occurred in March. And we've got 5 albums to review and 1 EP.
Well remembered.
I know, it's amazing what I can remember sometime. So let us begin with the news. So, as I said, this spans the whole of March, so some of this might seem old news, but it still occurred in March. So, first up then is the news that Palm Reader have decided to split up, which is very sad because we are both fans of Palm Reader.
Yeah, that's upsetting, that is. I'm a big fan of Palm Reader, and yeah, they're doing a few last shows, aren't they?
Yeah, we saw them a couple of times over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw them at the headline Mangata, didn't they, the first Mangata?
Yeah.
And then again at Uprising last year.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we did get to see them. But their last dates, they've got, I think, Southampton, London, Manchester, Nottingham, and then their final ever show will be at 2000 Trees.
Yeah, they've done that in quite a good order because 2000 Trees, I think they've said it's a spiritual home, haven't they? So they're finishing there. But before that, the Nottingham base, so their second to last gig, their kind of like last non-festival gig is going to be Rescue Rooms.
Yeah. So sad to see, but at least, like I say, we got to see them at some point.
Yeah. Other news, Five Finger Death Punch have announced a summer 2024 US tour with Marilyn Manson, which is, I mean, odd. It's a strange combination.
It is when you chuck in Slaughter to Prevail as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, yeah.
That could be chaos.
I think I was quite shocked in itself to see that Marilyn was back touring again. Allegations aside, last time we saw him, he was not very good.
He was ropey at best.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and Five Finger Death Punch, you never know what you're going to get.
No. Or even if it'll happen, you know.
Yeah, or if it'll happen. So that's a very strange tour.
It is. What I thought was interesting as well, when the announcements were made on like Marilyn Manson's social media and stuff, the comments were switched off.
But that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think it's a very mixed reaction, I think, for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a US tour, so we're not going to see it anyway.
Oh, no. I think I would want to anyway.
No, because it'd be an arena tour, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily want that at an arena.
No. Next one's a bit of a kind of news, not news. I made a note of it kind of at the beginning of the month because there was a kind of a rumour about the new Slipknot drummer because they posted a photo on Instagram, probably other places as well, of a broken drumstick with a hint that they'd obviously got their new drummer in place. And I thought by now they might have officially announced it, but they haven't. But the very strong rumours are that it is Eloy Casagrande from Sepultura, or formerly of Sepultura.
Yeah, it's kind of like a non... I don't know, with the Slipknot drummers, it's kind of like non-news now, isn't it? They've got through that many.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't care anymore about the drummers.
Yeah, really. I think this is the fourth drummer they've had.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
I thought it was the third, or it would be the third. So yeah, a bit of a non-news really. Maybe next month we might know for definite. But are they making new music if it's been playing with a drumstick with them? Or
well, know. Haven't they finished their contractual obligations to their label and they're free to do their own stuff on their own label now?
Yeah, they have actually. Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yeah. So they probably will do something, I imagine, in the next year or so.
Yeah.
They'll probably be knocking an album out every 18 months. So I just feel like that. They're just a money machine, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to be these days, but we'll wait and see.
Other exciting news, Bloodstock have released their merch range that we got an exclusive on from Vicky.
We did, yeah. It was quite funny, actually, because I think we mentioned merch in the context of a couple of new items that had just been announced, hadn't they?
Yeah.
She let slip on
what was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's the battle jacket, the battle vest, and an embroidered apron.
Yeah, that's a weird
That's a weird one, yeah.
Part of me thinks it's quite cool and I could make it into a dress. Part of me thinks it looks a bit like a serial killer butcher kind of apron.
Yeah, I'm thinking Leatherface and all that. Yeah.
But it is quite cool, and I think maybe it could be some kind of dress or a battle apron.
Mm. Well, I think I love that they've got two styles, so they've got sleeveless and they've got long sleeve.
Mm.
But I want the long sleeve colour in sleeveless.
Yeah, you want kind of the black one.
I want the black one in sleeveless, yeah. I mean, there's nothing to stop me cutting the arms off, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's quite expensive to cut the arms off that.
It is, yeah. They're not cheap.
No.
But they do look really good.
I do feel like the sleeveless one is the more kind of, I guess, traditional battle jacket. I'm just thinking like 80s. It was all blue denim, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
Or primarily.
It was, yeah.
But I do prefer a black denim.
Yeah, I do now.
And they've added in a few other bits that were released before. So they've got a fridge magnet, a very nice black hoodie with Stan on.
Mm.
Some more badges, mugs. Oh, an autograph
book.
The
autograph book that Vicky told us about as well.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea, obviously, because they've got their signing tent, so.
Yeah, I do like the mug as well.
Yeah, that is good. Quite like the water bottle. I don't need another water bottle in my life, but I do like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I don't need another water bottle, but I do like it as well. It's, well, we'll see, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
I know what we're like. There is also at Bloodstock the memorial for Lemmy, which a few of his ashes are going to be in an urn, and bust is going to be commissioned to incorporate the ashes, and that's going to be in the installation at Bloodstock kind of every year, and then it's also being hosted with Rock City as well when Bloodstock's not on. And we spoke about that in the episode with Vicky as well.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. There's kind of a whole load of Motorhead tribute kind of events or happenings across the weekend, in addition to the Ashes being held there. So some bands are going to be playing Motorhead tracks. There's going to be, is it the Hangar, she said, in the arena?
Yeah. And it's basically, it's just going to be a celebration, isn't it? It's not going to be anything kind of, it's not designed to be upsetting. It's supposed to be a celebration of Lemmy's life. So looking forward to seeing all of those bits.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be quite cool. And we had a very unexpected download announcement this week, which took me by surprise. And I kind of looked at you and I was like, did we know this was happening?
Yeah, like came out of nowhere.
Yeah, really weird and unexpected. Whether it's because it's just like eight bands that were added on, almost feels like a bit of an afterthought or a, I don't know, weird.
Yeah.
Because normally I was expecting the next announcement to be, here's some more bands and day tickets will be on sale from X date, because that's not happened yet. But anywho, there's some, I think, at least exciting additions.
There's definitely a couple on there for me as well.
Yeah. So kind of the main one, which is interesting, is Kerry King.
Yeah, that is, I said to you that was odd at the time.
Yeah. Given that last month we had the kind of announcement of the return of Slayer. Obviously that was US only anyway, but yeah, I didn't expect
Kerry King on his own just to turn up.
No. Oh, well, over for a holiday again. One that I'm very excited about is Creeper.
Mm.
Back on the main stage, which will be really cool to see, having seen them on the main stage in 2017 or 18, I can't remember now, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I remember.
Hopefully, I think that'll be my seventh time seeing them. And then other additions are Bayside, who I'm not familiar with, Bambi Thorg, Ireland's entry to Eurovision this year.
Yeah, another odd choice.
Quite get that one though.
I think, given the context of some of the bands at the weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's quite fitting with some of the other people already on the lineup. Soft Play, who used to be known as Slaves.
Yeah.
Which will kind of be weird to see, because we saw them as Slaves.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
We saw them in the Dogtooth, I think.
And we saw them at Leeds.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Sure, I've seen them in the Dogtooth as well.
Are you getting them mixed up with Idols?
Maybe.
Hmm. We definitely saw them at Leeds.
Yeah.
Got a very, very fuzzy memory of it, but we saw them. Low Lives. Florence Black, which we are very excited about.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, after seeing them at Stone Dead last year, very excited to see them again. And then there's the Kerrang! Radio's competition winners, Malavora, who I think they get to open up the Avalanche. I think that's the prize.
I think that's what it was last year.
Yeah, I think they'll be opening up the Avalanche on Saturday. So yeah, still no news on day tickets and other such like things. I mean, I'm most excited now about the food vendor announcement.
Yeah.
Which I'm a bit intrigued about as well, because I saw a post on the Facebook group the other day. Someone had said the roaming rotisserie wasn't going to be back this year, which I'd never been to as a non-chicken eater.
Mm.
But it was always really popular, wasn't it?
It could be the price that they're charging for the rental.
Well, I think someone who put the post on, I think they'd contacted them directly to see, and they just responded and said there's been a change of management. So whether that means there's going to be like a big overhaul of the food there, or let's hope it's not the return of Easy Cheesy.
Oh, fuck no. I heard Easy Cheesy got rebranded.
I thought that as well. I mean, you do get kind of the festival equivalent of gets chain places, don't you, where you see three or four of them all littered around, and then I try and prefer to seek out the more independent looking ones. Hopefully Bunny Chow might be there though, still. That would be sad if they're not. But yeah, hopefully we'll have a food announcement soon, because I want to start plotting my foods.
And then my final piece of news is that Lizzie Hale's going to join Skid Row, which is weird. Again, that's something else that came out of nowhere, just like something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I think it's only temporarily, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But random nonetheless.
Yeah, but you could have named 100 different vocalists and I wouldn't have thought of Lizzie Hale.
No, I mean, I think she'll fit in well with her style of vocal and the style of music that they do. It's just not
what... It's just not what you'd expect. Yeah. Just a very bit of a curveball, that one.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, I guess. So moving on to the podcast recap of March. Gigs attended, 3. All reviews have now been released. So that is Greg Puciato, Master Charger and Lake Malice. And at some point, I think there'll be some more video stuff going out. There should be something probably on YouTube at some point. I'm not committing to a date for that. Merch purchased. Gem 2 Kev 1. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, I've only got one. It would have been 2 if there was a Lake Malice t-shirt in my size, but wasn't to be.
So you got Greg Puciato shirt, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I got a Lake Malice shirt, and then I accidentally bought a Ghost t-shirt on eBay.
Of course you did.
It's one that I've wanted for ages, the design of, and it was quite cheap on an auction, and I just put a bid in, I expected to be outbid and forgot about it, and then I got a notification to say I had won it, so another Ghost t-shirt in the drawer.
Mm.
Gigs booked, 0. I don't think we've actually booked anything new.
I don't think we have, because we've got stuff that far in advance.
Mm.
And I've not really seen a lot that's been announced at this point.
No. One thing I have got tickets for, though, is the Rockfit Sophie Lancaster charity rock out in Nottingham on the 6th of April, which is at the Metronome. So if anyone is interested in going to that, all the money goes to the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. £10, and you can get tickets from the Rockfit shop. A new category that I meant to insert last month but forgot. Reasons for Gem to mention Ghost this month. Technically 0, but obviously I have just won that t-shirt.
So that's
kind of one. But no other reasons. But we are coming up to Easter Sunday, so who knows, Jim DeFrock might reappear. And a random one as well is that we actually got to number 35 in the French music commentary charts this month.
Yeah, I didn't wonder what happened there.
No, it's not our highest ever chart position, but the first time I think we've entered the French chart. So yeah, going global.
Yeah, I think we've been in somewhere random, like Indonesia.
I think we have.
And so I think we've charted there. Obviously, we've charted in the UK, but yeah, charting at 35 in the French one was strange.
Yeah. All I can visualise is, this is going to age us badly. The start.
I know what you're going to say.
Dad's army.
Oh, right.
They were invading France.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, we're working our way across Europe.
I was expecting some kind of Officer Crabtree reference.
The right sitcom era.
It is, yeah.
Again, ages, but yeah. I'm not going to do an impression.
Now it's time to listen to the 5 albums and the EP we've been listening to over the last month.
Yep, we've mostly been listening to, starting with, Ministry's Hopium for the Masses.
Mm.
So this is their 16th studio album.
Yeah.
I won't say much more because I'm pretty sure everyone knows who Ministry are.
Yeah, Al Jorgensen is one of his many bands.
Yeah, Uncle Al. This was released back on the 1st of March and is 9 tracks.
Mm. And this was an album I was really looking forward to, and I think it's a disaster.
I'm glad you said that, because I didn't know if it was just me, because I think it's probably safe to say you're probably a bigger Ministry fan than me.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like them, but...
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan, whereas you like them.
I love industrial music, yeah.
Having said that, I really liked the last album, and we saw them on that tour, didn't we, which was really good.
Yeah, and I've only got one track that I think is really good.
I've got two, and I think that's potentially because I thought it might be a bit bad to only have one that I really liked. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of picking out the lesser of...
The lesser of the evils.
The evils, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it started okay-ish, but never really got beyond okay-ish.
Yeah, I think it's... So for me, there's only what I'll talk about the one track I do like, which is New Religion, just track six, because it doesn't feel as sampled as the other stuff, and it's not as chaotic. And it allows kind of like the guitars to come through in it as well, which in his other stuff it has before, especially on the last one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of closer to the Ministry sound I wanted and expected.
Oh, okay.
But it did remind me kind of a Killing Joke in places.
Yeah.
Just on that one track, really. And I'll let you talk about the tracks you thought were okay.
Yeah, I thought Just Stop Oil was okay. Got some, you know, kind of classic heavy beats in there in kind of Ministry style. I got quite a nice guitar part in the middle. It's quite catchy, I thought, that one.
Mm.
That was my one that I kind of subbed in as a okay one. Yeah. You know what I mean? My kind of my most favourite, if you will, was the Orion Embarrassment. This one actually reminded me of Killing Joke on the intro.
Okay, yeah.
So I liked that, and then it, you know, it speeds up and it's got that quite shouty, punky influence in it, and it has got Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys in, which I think is potentially why I like it as well. It's got that kind of vibe to it, and again, quite catchy. Yeah, that was my peak.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I've got a few lines that I could summarise the whole album in. And like I said before, it just seems a bit of a mess. It's not what I wanted. And it feels like an 80s album. And it's something I would have loved about 30 years ago. But at this point in time, I don't like it.
Same.
And it feels like it's a step back for Ministry. And it sounds actually more like the stuff he did with Revolting Cox than it does Ministry.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I do like Revolting Cox, but it's... this album's just outdated.
Yeah, it just felt really disjointed, very... Not that it's a bad thing to have different styles in an album, but it just didn't...
It was a mess.
Yeah, like track eight, Cult of Suffering, with like the soul singing in the background. And
what was that about?
I've literally wrote, not sure what this is. Like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, my summary is like, there's nothing special. It's just Ministry doing what they do. They've obviously kept up to date with their political...
Yeah, well, the political sentiment behind it, I get.
Yeah, that's great, but the music just doesn't...
And I think is it the last track, Ricky's Hand?
Yeah.
That's just odd.
Yeah, it's just repetitive, electronic 80s, synthy.
Yeah,
but
that's all it is.
In a good way, because I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you score it?
I gave it a 5, which I feel is generous the more I talk about it.
I gave it a 3.
I thought I was going to be lower than you giving it a 5. I thought you might see more in it than I did.
No, I really don't like it.
Right, well, we've got that out of the way then.
Yeah, so we had to get that out of the way. I suppose that kind of followed on from last month, in a sense, in that it was another anticipated album for me, and it just annoyed me.
Well, I think we've had that both with like the Idols one and the Frank Carter one, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just seems like a continuation.
Okay, so see what takes the place of the... disappointing album next month, I guess. can't remember what's out next month, but yeah, we'll see when we get there.
Next up is Invincible Shield by Judas Priest. And I don't know if there's any point in telling anybody who Judas Priest are, because if you don't know, what rock have you been hiding under?
Yes, they've been around a little while, 50 years, I believe.
Yeah, they've been around longer than we've been alive.
Yes, and the fun fact that I think I have already mentioned on the podcast, but you know, I always get it in there. Judas Priest played at my dad's work Christmas party in the 70s, before they were famous. Yeah, 19th studio album for them. And just to say as well, there's 11 tracks that we're going to mention, discuss, but there is a bonus deluxe edition which has got 3 extra tracks on that we haven't included in our review. It just went with the standard 11 offering.
So first track, I think, is great for me, which is Panic Attack. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of kind of 80s synth and guitar feel to it. And it's reminiscent of every kind of 80s action film I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Really catchy. And I think this is a great opener.
Yeah, I think it goes straight in with classic Judas Priest, some awesome guitar work, and just those shrill vocals that we know and love of Rob Halford. Next one, Serpent and the King. I think that moves into a heavier direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into Invisible Shield. No, it doesn't. It goes into Invincible Shield.
Invincible Shield, yeah.
Yeah, which I felt was another classic one.
Yeah, there's some epic solos in this. And a great chorus. It's a real adrenaline-pumping sound of Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a top track and kind of reminiscent of their earlier sound.
Yeah, next one, Devil in Disguise, is one of my favourites on the album.
Yeah, I really like this. It's an almost Aussie sound.
I thought that, bits of Aussie. It's slower, it's quite bluesy, and it's got a really catchy chorus.
Yeah, and I'd say it's kind of a thrash ballad.
Yeah, that's a good description.
That's kind of how I'd sum it up. And I love the intricacy of the guitar and those kind of pained vocals in it. And it's, I'd probably say this is my favourite track.
It's up there.
It really stands out for me.
I had three standouts in total. The next standout one for me was track 6, Crown of Horns,
mm-hmm.
which I'm expecting you to not like because it gave me Bon Jovi vibes. It was kind of a soft rock, melodic, almost like a power ballad.
Yeah, interestingly for me, the kind of, at this point onwards, till pretty much the last track, it was stuff that I wasn't as keen on.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I prefer the first kind of third of the album.
Mm.
And then it kind of drops off a little bit for me after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's a bit hit and miss after this one for me. It's kind of every other track almost I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really love that one and it really gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
The next one that I really like, my third favourite, is Escape from Reality, track 9.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this one was quite different. It was quite dirgy, doomy, quite Sabbath-y at times. And some of the guitar work as well, it reminded me a bit of Zeppelin. It's kind of a lot of mix of classic rock sounds in it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There was I've noticed a lot of like Sabbath and a mash of other stuff.
Yeah, but in a good way.
But in a good way, yeah.
But yeah, they're kind of my three top ones.
Yeah, and my final track that I really love on this is Giants in the Sky, which is the last track.
Yeah, I do like that one too.
And it's an amazing track to finish on. And it kind of encapsulates the album a little bit. And it's, I think with the whole album as well, this feels like it's designed for a festival.
Yeah, there is a lot of anthemic fist pumping choruses, you know.
It just feels that way. It's kind of like got a huge crescendo at the end. You can see them playing this in full and then maybe coming on, doing an encore, like Breaking the Law. That's how I feel about this album. Yeah. I feel like it's designed for a festival.
Yeah, I thought an arena, you've gone bigger.
Yeah, I just expect to see Judas at a festival, that's all.
But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. I think considering their age, how long they've been around for, it's almost like they just kind of just reinvented, but they just brought back a really good classic Judas album.
Yeah.
It's kind of making me wish I'd gone to the recent tour, but, you know. But yeah, and again, considering his age, obviously Rob Halford's still got the vocals.
Yeah, in his 70s.
Yeah. And what did you give it out of 10?
8.
So did I.
So we're agreed on that one.
Next album then is Devastators, Conjurers of Cruelty. This is their second album. And if you are not familiar with Devastator, they are a 4-piece blackened thrash band from Derby, like all the best things are. And we had a chat with Achtgore. Can I ever say that right?
Yeah, you did.
A few weeks ago now. And that is, I believe, episode 118. So if you want to go and have a listen to that, hear more about the album before it was released. This came out on the 1st of March, and 10 tracks across 44 minutes. So it does start, just to say, with an instrumental opener, which I think is really cool. It just kind of builds up the atmosphere before the album kicked in. I liked that.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the first track that I really love is actually track 3.
Yeah, on the same Black Witcher.
That's good. Then we're starting at the same point. So this was one of the singles that they released. So I was familiar with this before the album came out, but yeah, I just love this from the opening riff. It's just super fast. There's just loads of technical guitar work in there, some really old school influences that we heard about in the interview.
Yeah.
And you can definitely kind of see those shining through. Remind me a lot of the first album as well.
Yeah.
When I first listened to that and kind of decided
why I really liked this band.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost kind of Motorhead-esque in places for this.
Yeah.
Kind of like the ferocity of it. And it's such an infectious guitar hook. So good. And yeah, this is a standout track for me.
Next track was actually another of my favourites. Track 4, Ritual Abuse, Evil Never Dies. Again, this was another single. But yeah, I just thought this one had just loads of kind of black metal atmosphere going through it. I really loved that on this one.
My next favourite is track 5, Walpurgisnacht, which is another heavy one, but almost behemoth-like and really kind of fast, exhilarating track. I absolutely love this. A lot of intricate guitars in it and some epic solo pieces at the end.
You've pretty much...
Have I said everything you were going to say?
About pretty much, yeah. Just more ferocity, quite punky vibes in this one with the speed of it, really fast beat and some exceptional solos.
Yeah. I'm also a big fan of track 6, Necromantic Lust. Incredibly catchy. I'm not sure how they've done it with such a fast track, but how you get something that fast and catchy at the same time. But they've done a great job on that. And it's another onslaught of thrash, mixing some of their influences again and kind of just creating an absolute belter of a track.
Yeah, it's not one of my favourite ones, but I do really love the death screaming intro to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really cool. My next favourite one was Deathspell Defloration. This one was kind of slower, quite a lot of doom atmosphere through this one, and then it really kicks in. Again, more awesome solos. It reminded me a lot of Bathory, this one as well, and I love the kind of the darker vocals on this one. Mm. So yeah, definitely a favourite, that one.
And then I'm going to go on to my last absolute standout, which is Rabid Morbid Death. If Devastator did an epic thrash ballad, it's this.
Mm, yeah.
I love everything about it. The kind of cutting guitar, brutal vocals, and absolutely energizing, frantic drums. It's genius. What a genius thrash track.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this one as well, actually. The longest track on the album, almost 8 minutes, but it does not feel like it's that long. And I think this track really just kind of rounds up and sums up the whole of the previous 9 tracks, really.
Yeah, yeah. Absolute genius track list.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, for me, it was hard to pick out any standouts because I love every track on it. So I had to be very strict with myself to kind of just pull out a few because I could have spoke about all of them.
Mm-hmm. So what would you give it out of 10?
I gave it a 9. I don't know why I only gave it a 9, but I gave it a 9. I just thought it was, yeah, it's perfect follow-up to the first album. Like I said earlier, all those influences are coming through. It just really builds on the first album and just takes them up to another step. And I can see why all the reviews that they had prior to release were so good.
Oh, good, yeah.
That's it, really, yeah. Perfect mix of thrash, black metal, all the stuff that I loved about Devastated to start with. What's yours?
9. Same reasons as you. And yeah, that's... Well, pretty much the same on every album, no?
Just to add in as well, because I know that when we did the interview, I'm not sure if they'd released their tour dates at that point. I know they were mentioned, but they weren't confirmed. So that there are now some live dates for Devastator in May in the UK, so go check them out.
So next up is Goat Major and their debut album, Ritual. It's 8 tracks, and there are 3-piece from Wales who started out as instrumental and then added vocals into the mix as well. So I think the first track is amazing, called Snakes, Goddess of the Serpent. It's got a really fat, heavy bass line and a very dark intro, kind of Sabbath-esque, and really good reverb on the vocals in this.
Yeah, I thought it was a good opener, kind of sets the album up, really.
And then going on to track 2, Ritual, I love how the last track flows into this. And it's a similar feel to the last one, but a much quicker tempo. And it's just like another continuation of that. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed track 3, which is Turn to Dust. This is quite a kind of slow, dirgy opening. It's got some really sinister keys through it. And then just kind of picks up the speed. And I just love the kind of the rhythm of this one. It's got a real depth of sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Then going on to probably my favourite track on the album, Mountains of Madness, which is... It's just got an epic soundscape to it, and it's so atmospheric, and it builds up to what seems like wolves kind of calling. It's just got a mix, so much stuff going on in it. It's so well layered, and then it kind of manages to slow everything down and then get it back up again. It's just a great track.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one as well. It's the longest track on the album, which is interesting to plonk in the middle.
Yeah.
Plonk's the technical
word. Plonk being the operative word, yeah.
Yeah, like you, I love the kind of the atmospheric intro, and then it's got lots of changes of pace in there. Yeah, I think it's an amazing track. I really enjoyed the next two as well. So Evil Eye, this one, I found it quite sludgy, quite discordant. It's got a really slow, creepy chorus, but some excellent guitar work in there, and some really cool harmonies, the way the vocals mix on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the last track is the shortest one, just to finish it. It's almost like a lighter finish. This was quite psychedelic, spacey.
Yeah.
Way just to just finish the album off on a lighter note from the doom that's preceded it.
Yeah. Really, really well put together. A lot of stuff going on throughout it. And yeah, I'm really impressed. So what would you give it out of 10?
I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was really good. Like you say, really good debut. Got some really good doomy, sludgy, occult-filled grunge in there. So yeah, if you're a fan of Electric Wizard, Green Lung, Candlemass, definitely give this one a listen. What did you give?
8.
Oh, slightly more.
Slightly more.
Right, the final album then is These Wicked Rivers' second album, Force of Nature. If you're not familiar with These Wicked Rivers, then why not? They're a 5-piece from Derby, as all the best things are. And we interviewed them way back, it feels like, in, I think it was October, episode 97, before we saw them at Derby Alt Fest. But yeah, we've been big fans of them since we first saw them at Stone Dead. This is a 10-track album, released it also on the 1st of March. A lot of good things came out that day. So similar to Devastator, I very much enjoyed every track on here. So it has been quite hard to pick out some specifics. But we'll start with the opener, which from the first note has got that signature Wicked Rivers bluesy sound, some stunning vocals in this one, some stunning solo work, which I will probably repeat throughout this album.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, like you said, I do absolutely adore every track on this. It's an amazing album. And this is such a great opener. It's got an amazing bass line, and John's vocals kind of set this up perfectly. It's a clear option for a single, and it's just so full of atmosphere.
Track 2, The Family, I think this is fast-paced, lots of southern tones, whiskey rock going through this one. Really catchy, a good bop-along one.
Yeah, track 3, Black Gold, another belter. Remember hearing this last year.
Yeah, this was a single, wasn't it? So it's one that I've been listening to for a while.
Yeah, I absolutely love this, and it just needs to be heard live.
Yeah, from the moment the vocals kick in, that harmonised intro, it's excellent.
It's just so catchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, so catchy.
Yeah, there's lots of groove to dance along to in this one. Really catchy, stompy riff.
Then track 4, Testify. I think this is one of These Wicked Rivers' best songs to date. And it's a great example of the skills at mixing bass lines and lots of 70s style soul coming through it. And there's almost a country sound to it as well in places. It's got epic guitar solos, crisp, soulful vocals. It's perfect.
We can't say much more than that, really. Yeah, I've been a fan of this one since they released it actually as a single back in 2022. I'm pretty sure they played it when we saw them at Stone Dead.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they did. Yeah, I can't add anything more to that one, really. Track 5, When the War is Won.
Yeah.
I love this one. And it's quite funny because I was listening to it when they released the album and it sounded familiar straight away. I was trying to think, they must have played it in Derby.
Yeah.
And me being me, I was like, oh, I've got to have a look at the set list on Setlist FM to see if they did. And of all the gigs that they've done, their Altfest one wasn't listed. And then I suddenly remembered I've actually got a copy of the literal set list.
Well, I was looking at you weird then, because I was going to say, I'm sure I got you a set list.
Yeah. You didn't get it, me. I got it myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought I got the set list and passed it to you.
You got what? Aaron gave me his set list, I think. And then you got one. And then we realised we both got one. So I think I gave mine to someone else. And there was a lot of confusion going off because we both got earplugs in.
Yeah.
And we've now got Dave's set list.
Right.
Okay. Which I still need to frame and put on the wall. Anyway, back to the song. I just love this one. I just think it's got that slow build up to really rousing, moving chorus. Excellent guitar work. Softer vocals in this one. Really moving lyrics. It's such a sing-along track, even though it's not like an upbeat musically one as such, but it really is one that just gets you, you know what I mean?
Track 6, I mean, we are pretty much going through this track for tracks. Track 6, The Riverboat Man. It's more of a full-on mix of Rivers, a lot of different things coming through and showing how powerful a band they're becoming. Track 7, Just to Be a Man. This is my favourite of the slower tracks on this album. A lot of bluesy, soulful, epic solos going through it. And 2/3 into the song that layers over the top of John's vocals. It's so really well structured. I mean, it's a great example of what they can do.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Track 9 is the next one I've got more comments on.
Yep.
I think there's another softer one, and I just love the pure vocals on this one, but then it builds up really heavy. Again, we've got those epic soaring solos through it, and then it just kind of speeds up towards the end as well. I love the way it kind of builds throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, it's quite a wonderful sort of reflective song that's layered with the keyboard and, again, more incredible kind of sculpted, layered guitars and heartfelt lyrics as well. And it's another absolute classic.
And then it finishes off with Lonely Road, which was another single from a little while ago now.
Yeah.
And it's very different. I think we actually reviewed it as a single when it was released on one of our very early episodes, mm-hmm. I think. But yeah, it's kind of very stripped back, just acoustic and strings. And we actually spoke to John in particular about this track, didn't we?
Yeah.
When we interviewed them about, you know, it's very different. And he kind of went into what it's all about and how personal it was to him at the time in lockdown when he wrote it. So I think that's a really good way just to finish out the album.
Mm-hmm. So for me, this album in its whole is the best album I've heard this year by far. And it's probably one of the best albums I've listened to in the last 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm absolutely adore this. It's an absolute masterpiece. Can't stop listening to it. And yeah, and it's finally, you know, I've had so many disappointments with some of the albums I've really been waiting for.
Mm.
It's good to get one that's really kind of not only met my expectations, but exceeded them. It's so, so good. It's a genius album.
Yeah, I was never in doubt that it would be, to be honest. just from the singles that we've heard and the bits that we've heard live. Yeah, it's an absolutely perfect follow-up to their debut, full of just that classic sound that they've perfected.
Yeah.
And to think this is only their second album as well. For me, it feels like it could be their fifth or sixth album.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a bad track on it. Like you, I could listen to it over and over. So what did you give it?
9.8.
I didn't know we were going into different decibels other than 0.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's better than 9.5 for me.
I gave it 9.5 because we've got an aversion to giving things 10. So I thought 9.5 was the highest I could go.
Yeah. It's as close to perfection as I've heard for a long time. So yeah, like I said, one of the best albums I've heard in the last 15 years.
Yeah, anything else released this year has got a lot to live up to in terms of our chart for the end of the year. I think we know what will be featured in that.
So on to our final thing that we've been listening to, which is Fracture Point Act of Malice EP, which came out on the 22nd of March, so a later release. 5 tracks, and they're a 4-piece, and they are also part of the London Metal Coalition. So this starts off with a track called Malicious Intent, which has got a great guitar running through it, and it's really, really catchy. And the style kind of seems a little bit Pantera meets Municipal Waste. And yeah, it's very addictive, and some really good vocal work that kind of switches kind of between angry and then snarling, shouting, roaring, growling.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this as an opening track. I love the fact that it just kind of opens with a vocal or a spoken rather definition of malice, and it just kicks straight into a really fast riff. I love the way that the guitars kind of blend in with the bass throughout. And yeah, those vicious shouting vocals in the chorus. Yeah, good opener. Track 2, Call to Arms. I thought this had a really good mix of tempos and really thumping drums. Again, another kind of chanting, really catchy chorus. I got some Pantera vibes from this one. It's kind of really, you know, fist pumping, some cool grooves worked through it.
Yeah.
Another really good track.
Yeah, it's kind of like an old school sort of sound, almost like a funk bass line running through it as well.
Mm, yeah.
Which I really wasn't expecting after the first track. And yeah, more strong vocals in this. And it does seem like a quicker pickup of drums in this one as well.
Mm.
Track 3 is called Fracture Point. So self-titled. And it's got a really eerie guitar hook at the start and some distorted vocals kind of running over it. I think if this was a film, it'd be a slasher movie.
Yes.
I just kind of get that vibe about it. And yeah, again, the pace really picks up, some more brutal vocals taking over. And I'm actually looking forward to hearing this live.
Mm.
So I think this will go down really well. Especially that insane kind of guitar and drum battle near the end.
This is probably my favourite one on the album, actually. Again, it's quite hard to pick, so I enjoyed all the tracks, but I think this was a favourite. I just love that dark, kind of slow, melodic intro. The whole track's kind of really dark and atmospheric, but then it kind of really builds up to an absolute chug fest. Yeah, and many twists and turns throughout it. A slasher film of a track. Past the First Stone, I love the bass intro to this one. Really cool. It's got some really angry, gnarly chugs throughout it. There's an awesome solo into this one as well before the breakdown.
Yeah, it's kind of a very bass-heavy track and almost elements of Body Count. You know, that kind of Body Count bass line that they use.
Yeah.
Reminded me that a little before the pace kind of like really kicks off and then it just becomes a great thrash track with kind of more brutal vocals and drums. Then final track, One Bad Day, is an absolutely brutal finishing track. Felt slightly slower than the onslaught of the last track. And again, kind of like Municipal Waste but meets Exodus, that kind of sound. So yeah, a good track to finish on.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good ending. There's lots of, like you say, really heaviness, loads of pace changes throughout it. And yeah, it's kind of just a culmination, I think, of the four previous tracks.
Mm.
Just kind of builds it up. And yeah, a great ending to a great EP. So yeah, I think overall, it's just really good kind of old school, kind of classic thrash with some great grooves, riffs, vicious vocals, interesting mix of themes. It's kind of a mix of commentary on kind of war, violence, and then mental health as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some really cool artwork.
Yes, very cool artwork.
And like you say, looking forward to seeing this live. We are hopefully going to be able to see Batchpoint at Moshing the Roof On Festival at the Hairy Dog next month.
Mm-hmm.
Or this month when this was released. And they've also got a date scheduled in Mansfield later in the year, I think in October, which I think we can get to. So hopefully get to see them there as well. So what do you give it out of 10?
I would say 8.
Yep, I would agree with that. Yeah, that rounds up what we've mostly been listening to this
month.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been other bits and bobs here and there we've listened to. I think actually Noah Fint's album came out in March.
Okay,
I'm not including the review, but I've been much enjoying that, if that's a phrase.
If you want it to be, it can be.
Can you tell we're getting hungry? This is why we don't record before tea.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the March roundup. And you'll be able to find out some of the stuff that's we've been talking about on all of our socials. So you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Ready to Mosh Cast. We're also on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at Ready to Mosh. Don't forget to give us a like, share, follow, 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. Maybe write a nice review. We've also got our Patreon. And on the Patreon, you'll be able to find out what we've got coming up in April. So we're going to let people know who our members on there, what they can expect to see, what they can expect to hear. And of course, there's a playlist as well that we'll be putting together, and that'll be on Spotify. So there will be that for you as well. And we'll be back soon with another episode.
Make it March, Moog.